Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory to your name. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, hallelujah. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to everyone online. We're so honored that you've joined us this morning and honored that you've joined us in house as well in the name of Jesus. We are just excited about this upcoming year. As some seem to be, glory to God, but I'm excited about this upcoming year in the name of Jesus, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to your name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this day, Lord God, this first Sunday in 2024. And Lord, we have committed ourselves to give you every Sunday. Lord, we know that you have given us the gift of time. Every moment on this planet, Lord God, is a gift from you, Lord God. And we choose to honor you, Lord, with one day a week, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, if we can't worship you for 2 hours after all you've given to us, Lord God, there's something wrong with that, Lord God. And so, Father, we choose, Lord God, to give you these 2 hours, Lord God, whether 2 hours or more than two or whatever it is, Lord God. This time we devote to you, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord God, for helping us to shut out all the distractions, Lord, all of the noise, all of the other things and people that try to get our attention. Lord, during this time, we want to give you our undivided attention, Lord God. We know, Lord God, that 1 minute with you can change our lives forever. Let me say that again. 1 moment with you, Lord God, will change our lives forever. 1 moment with you, Lord God, will change our lives forever. And so we thank you, Lord God, for showing up this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for this time of fellowship with you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts this morning, Lord God. We our hearts are open to you. That's the purpose of our worship. That's the purpose of our prayers. That's the purpose, Lord God, of everything we do, is that we may engage with you, Lord God. And so we thank you, Lord God, with every scripture that we read, with every prayer that we pray, with every song that we sing, with every thought that we think, Lord God, that we would think on and praise and read about and learn about you, Lord God, that you would be the focus of everything that we do, Lord God. And when we're not distracted from that, you said you would keep us in perfect peace. So we thank you, Lord God, that we all leave this day, Lord God, or leave this place, this time of worship, Lord, with peace on a level that can only come from you. And we will always give you and you alone all of the glory, honor, and praise for it. In Jesus' holy and majestic name we pray. And all that agree with that prayer said,
amen.
Come on, amen. One more time with everything, amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated in the name of Jesus. Thank you, praise team. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory. I do love that song. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you know, from time to time, different songs will be on my heart, and because different songs express where I am at the time. You know what I'm saying? There are certain times that I want to sing about Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. And there are different times where I'm singing about different aspects of God. But I'm always singing to Him. I'm always singing to Him. Yeah, I never want to come to the place where my worship neglects Him. Okay, I got a couple of amens and a couple of all rights for that, but that is the focus of my worship. So, and the focus of everything that I do is my relationship with Him. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And I want to look at verse number 14. And our theme as we begin this year, for what part of the year, I don't know. It might be the theme for the entire year, but I at least know this is where we're going to start. And it is spiritual journey. Spiritual journey. Glory to God. And whenever you go on a journey, the journey is purpose to take you from where you are to where you want to be. Come on, man. That's good preaching already. Purpose of a journey is to take you from where you are to where you want to be. And, you know, some journeys take longer than others. Come on, man. Some journeys take longer than others. Some journeys cover more distance. Amen. Amen. And so, but all journeys take you from one place. It is a passage from one place to another. And so if we're taking a spiritual passage, that means that my spirit needs to be engaged to get me from where I am to where I need to be. Amen. Amen. And, you know, when we say spirit, don't, you know, get tripped up with that language. You know, a lot of people don't like talk of spirit, but you can't escape it. It's all throughout the Bible. In 1 Thessalonians, as a matter of fact, let's go there first. The 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18. Let's go there first. We're coming right back here. But I want to help you to be able to connect with this message from the very beginning. Because I think this is, 23. That's good too. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, that's it. That's what I wanted. Amen. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely, all one piece. And so it's talking about God, and He is the God of peace. Now, peace, the word peace, has to do with wholeness. Amen. 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 Peace has to do with wholeness. And so the God of wholeness sanctify you wholly or completely. Amen. So in other words, this is what I do. I'm the God of wholeness. And so how is He going to sanctify you? With some wholeness. You won't be fractured and you won't be wanting to do one thing and going in another direction. Hey, all one piece. He can keep you together. Come on, man. Some of us need to go to God so He can put us together. Because the things that we want to do, how many of y'all, come on, we don't do those things. And the things that we know to do, sometimes we don't do them things. And so we need the God who always goes in one direction, who's always got it together. He is the God of putting together, or the God who's got it all together. We need Him to put us together. Say, God, get me together. Get me together. Get me together. I don't want to have thoughts that are contrary to where I'm going. If we're going on a journey, we can't have thoughts that keep us out of the transportation. Come on, man. If I need to go to Europe, I can't have thoughts of fear of flying. I'll never get there. So I need my thoughts consistent with the method of travel. And if my thoughts are consistent with the method of travel, what am I going to do? I'm going to make sure that when it's time to travel, I'm where I'm supposed to be. And I'm ready to go. Amen? Amen. So it says, the very God of wholeness sanctify. The word sanctify, and I think sometimes people back away from the Bible because they don't understand a lot of the terms. And that's okay. It's okay. But don't put it down because of that. Look the word up. And if you still don't understand when you look it up, ask somebody. Preferably me or ministry staff, because what some people think stuff mean ain't what they mean. Amen. Amen. And so the word sanctify means to set apart or to separate for a holy use. It's not just the separation, but what I'm separated for. Amen? Amen. And in other words, the purpose of the separation is so that God can be worshiped there. The purpose of the separation is so that God is always honored there. The purpose of the separation is so God can show up there and bring his presence there. He's welcome there. That's the purpose of the separation. And so will God keep you in one piece? Right? Amen. Will he keep you in one piece so that when he wants to visit, he can visit the whole you? So that my thoughts aren't contrary to him or my actions inconsistent with who he is, but so that the whole of me is welcoming, the whole of me is inviting, the whole of me is excited about his showing up. Okay, I'd like the whole of the congregation. All one piece. Can all one piece say amen right now?
Amen.
All right, glory to God. Amen. All right. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely. And I pray God your whole. And see, you can see. Once we stop and take our time with this verse, there is a theme for the verse, and it's consistent throughout the verse. The theme is whole or wholeness. Remember, peace is nothing missing, nothing broken. That's what peace is. So when you're at peace, that means there's nothing missing. Now, look at this. When you're at home, isn't that your safe place? That's where. Okay, now, what if your child ain't there? And they supposed to be, your child's supposed to get there at 3:30, and it's 6 o'clock, and they're not there. What happens? You don't have peace. Because there's not wholeness. And so God then will cause us to be whole, nothing missing, nothing disturbed, nothing broken, nothing agitating. Yes. Amen. So let's go back to that example. What if you're at home in your safe place where you should have peace, and instead your child does come home, but your child this day is on one? And so everything that you've taught them not to do, today they're doing those things. It's agitating. So there's no peace. there's no peace. And so God wants us, and he is the God of peace. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. So Jesus wants to make everything smooth and well-flowing and everything, there's another word I'm looking for, quiet and serene. That's the word I was looking for. He wants everything to be like that. Amen? Amen. And so that the whole theme of this verse is wholeness. So he says, the God of wholeness sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, you're whole. You see it? Yeah. Spirit. And you could say, and your whole soul and your whole body. Right? The modifier whole applies to spirit, soul, and body. So I pray God, the Apostle Paul said, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a tall order. It's a tall order. Amen. Amen. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying here is that there be no accusations, accusations that have any merit to them. Thank you, Lord, against you. Amen. So I can't say, oh, they did this, and so, Lord, they are not worthy of you because of this. Now, understand what I'm saying here. This is not a gospel of performance. But this is a gospel of working together. As I do. I got another word for it, but it ain't coming right now. So it says, now, it starts with your spirit. And I read this verse, and I've already spent too much time on it. But I read this verse because it says your whole spirit. And there are a lot of people that don't like discussion of spirit because for most of us, we don't know what that is. We don't know what that is. And I think what we call our soul a lot of times in common culture, what we call our soul is really our spirit. And so let me just, since I'm here, take a few, just a moment to look at the Greek words here so that we can kind of get a better understanding. When it says my whole spirit, it is the Greek word pneuma. Pneuma is spelled P-N-E-U-M-A. Pneuma. And it is the Greek word that we get our English word pneumatic from. And so if you have a pneumatic tool, a pneumatic drill, What does that mean? Anybody know what a pneumatic tool? It operates by air. And so spirit is air or wind or breath. Amen. Air, wind, breath. Pneuma, your whole pneuma and your whole soul, or the Greek word psuche. Psuche. The Greek word psuche is the Greek word where we get our term psychology from. And psychology is the study of what? The mind. So we know psuche has to do with the mind. So your spirit has to do with the real you. That breath or that life, because in the beginning it says God breathed the breath of life into man, and he became a living soul. And so that living part of us is the pneuma. And God breathed into us, and then once that breath came in, that living part of us began to function and operate with the psuche, or the soul. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. All right. And the last part, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Before I go there, let me just say this. Because of this scripture, I know that I am a spirit. I don't have a spirit. I am a spirit. That's who I am. I have a soul. Right? Now, so that's why the scripture says, and people talk about losing your soul. I can lose something I have. I cannot lose who I am. Y'all, amen. We don't need to discuss that anymore. And so you can lose your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. That mind is your thinking part. Your will is your choosing part. When you say, I will do this or I will do that, you're choosing. And then your emotions, of course, are your feelings. Your feelings. And a lot of times in modern Christianity kind of terms, there is a tendency to place feelings over established truth. And so people will look at things and say, well, I know that's in the Bible, but I feel like that shouldn't matter. You see what I'm saying? And so you end up drifting further away from the God that we want to worship. Amen. 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 Glory to God. And so we are a spirit, and so therefore that real part of us is the journey that we're on. We want to establish a connection with that real part of us, but it takes some work to do so because we are so accustomed to responding to things according to our feelings or according to our will. I just don't want to do it that way. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And so it's really important that we recognize that now. So the third part, and I shouldn't even be over here, but anyway, body is soma, and that's just your physical body. This physical body that you're looking at. My spirit lives in this body. And the scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For every funeral you go to, the body's still there. But the body's no longer alive. What does that mean, the body's no longer alive? That body no longer responds to physical life. So you can go up to that casket and you can talk to that body. You can talk about that body and that body won't move because that body cannot respond to you. It can't respond to you because the real person has left that body and is either present with the Lord or not. Amen. Amen. And so that the physical, the Greek word for the physical body is soma. Soma. All right. So, all right. Amen. So we're going on a spiritual journey. All right. I want to help each of you. That was a long explanation. I want to help you to connect with the real you. Amen. So that you can go from where you've learned, because what you've learned has been based on responding to natural life when you're really not a natural person. You're a spirit. And if you're a spirit, then you need to learn, well, how do I live and respond to spiritual life? Amen. That's so very important. As a matter of fact, that's critical. That's what being a Christian is all about. And for most people, they try to respond to spiritual life based on natural commitment. So, in other words, I'm going to keep the commandments. Is that a good thing to say? Yes. Is that a good goal to have? Absolutely. But you cannot keep them by yourself because they are based on spirit life. All right. All right. So now let's go back. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now, it says this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, or discerned, the word discern means to understand. All right? Okay, so let me just point this out to try to move on and catch up. The what's at stake here is the things of the Spirit of God. Do you see that? It says the natural man can't receive them. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. And so that whole verse is about the things of the Spirit of God, who can receive them, and not just who can receive them, but what kind of sense do they make to them? So the natural man can't receive them. They don't even make sense to him. And so because they don't make sense, he'll reject them. Amen. And so what's at stake are the things of the Spirit of God. And so I recognize that it's important for me to have some spiritual discernment so that I'm able to receive the things of the Spirit of God. I don't want to be without those things. Amen. And so what I come to recognize is that I really can't live without them. I can't live without them. And everybody says amen, but you know what? We do all the time. So we don't recognize. And, you know, I heard a story of a minister who said he asked God one day. He said, Lord, how much of this is you? And he said, now, this is not something I recommend you do, because he had several days where God really pulled a veil back and showed him. And he said it was miserable. He said he couldn't remember the words of songs. He said he could not even express a thought. He said he would have a thought and couldn't come up with the words to put together to make sense. And he said it was impossible to preach. And he said he saw it was all him. It was all him. And man, if I don't make any other point today, that's the point I want to make. Listen, we know the passage of scripture that says, and Jesus said, without me, John chapter 15, he said, without me, you can do how much?
Nothing.
How much?
Nothing.
How much?
Nothing.
How much?
Nothing.
I can't hear you.
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Everybody just want everybody to participate. He said, without me, you can do
nothing.
So it's all him.
Amen.
So do I need him to brush my teeth?
Yes.
You know, he shows that in scripture. Let's look at the book of Luke, chapter number 5. Thank you. Verse number 1, Luke 5:1. All right. The scripture says, and it came to pass, we're going to read several verses here, and it came to pass that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, verse 2, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets, verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him or asked him that he would thrust out a little bit from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So Jesus is there. And these people came to hear the word of God, but it was too many people for that little space. And so Jesus said, let me get out a little bit, kind of make a stage for myself. I'm going to get on the boat, and I'm going to sit on the boat. If the fishermen will allow me, I'll sit on the boat, and I'll teach the people from the boat. So that's what's going on here. Verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, so when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw or for a catch or to catch some fish. Let your nets down to catch some fish. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Without me you can do nothing. And he said, we've toiled all night, and we've taken. Who wasn't with them while they was toiling all night? How do you know? They didn't do nothing. They did do nothing. Okay, so now think about this. So now, would you even think normally that I need God fishing? Normally, just be honest, I wouldn't think about that. But we need him for everything. Everything. All right. So we've been fishing all night. We caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Notice now he said, let down your nets. And then Peter said, I'll let down my net. In other words, I will half do what you ask me. All right. Verse 6 says, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them, so they weren't out there. That they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Stop for a minute. How much fish do you have to make a fishing boat sink? And then to call another boat and fill that one to overcapacity so that it also is sinking. Also, so you see, without him, they could do nothing. What about with him? Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Verse 9. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught or the catch of fishes which they had taken. Verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, for from henceforth thou shalt catch men. This is astonishing. Because we see, okay, so first of all, they worked as hard as they could, and they didn't catch nothing without Jesus. As soon as Jesus came and was with them, they filled up not just one boat, but both boats to such a degree that they were sinking. But then Jesus did this. Jesus said, I will use your current employment for my benefit. Because from henceforth, that which you have practiced your whole life, I'm going to use to bring men in. That which you've been trained to do, it's not only going to catch fish, it's going to catch men. And if with me, you can catch enough fish to sink a boat, how many men going to come in? Amen. Amen. So now, why did you say this, Pastor? Well, I wanted you to understand that there are some common, everyday things that we take for granted, that if we'll talk to the Lord will cause us to do them so much more efficient than we ever have before. And not only that, because so many of us are waiting for the pastor or the deacon or the choir member to serve him. But Jesus will use what you do. Man, I have people all the time say, I can't do nothing. Well, if you'll get with him. Come on, if you'll get with him, he'll use what you got. And use what you can do. And cause what you can do to touch people's lives and change them. And too many people, too many of us neglect to do anything because we think, well, I don't know as many scriptures as Brother Know-All the Bible. Or I can't pray like Sister Pray Right. Or I can't talk like somebody else. Or I don't think that quickly. You don't have to do none of that. Did he say, I'm going to teach you to think quick? Did he say, I'm going to teach you to know every scripture? Did he say, I'm going to teach you to pray right? I'm going to use where you are to take you, watch it, spiritual journey. I'm going to use where you are to take you to where I want you to be. But that only happens with him. That only happens with him. That only happens with him. All right, let's look at one last scripture. I think we're going to stop here. John chapter 14. So my focus today is to know who you're traveling with. You're taking a journey. Who I'm traveling with. Who I'm rolling with. John 14. Did I give you the verse? Let me see which verse. Verse number 8. And you know what? Let's look at this in the Amplified Classic. I like what the Amplified Classic does right there. It says, Philip said to him, he's talking to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. Cause us to see the Father. Look at this. That's all we ask. That's all. I just want to know God. I've talked to so many people who are not in the church, and all they want to know, I want to know, is God real? They don't know. And that's a legitimate question. And that's what Philip is asking here. It is most fundamental question that you have to answer. Because if you can't answer that question, there would be no reason for coming here. I got to answer that first. I got to know him. And Philip said, that's all I ask. He said, I'll be satisfied if I know there is a God. If you can show me God, I'll be satisfied. Verse number 9. Jesus replied, have I been with all of you for so long a time, and do you not recognize and know me yet, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can we say then, show us the Father? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to stop right there. And so what we need to know is, we need to know, Philip said, show us the Father. That's all we ask. Amen. Amen. Look at Jesus' answer. Jesus said, have I been so long a time with you, and yet you don't know me? All right. Our first principle of spiritual journey is knowing that the Father is with us. You know, Jesus said, I'm already here. I don't need to take you someplace. I don't need to show you something. He said, have I been with you so long and you don't know me? And the scripture tells us that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. And so the first principle that I have to be confident in is that God's with me on this journey. He's with me. And so now, don't move on so quickly from that. If I know God is with me, then I need to respond to him. When I wake up in the morning, who I need to talk to? Why? He's with me. He's with me. My first response of the day needs to be to him. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for watching over me last night. Thank you that I woke up this morning, Lord God. I so do anticipate all of the good things, Lord God, that you do for me this day. I thank you, Lord God, the number one thing, you with me for this entire day. I know you never leave me or never forsake me. And so I'm so grateful, Lord God, for your being with me. Yes, oh, Dad. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful, Lord God, that you are always here, Lord God. I'm thankful, Lord God, that I can always have confidence that I'm never alone. I'm never alone. I'm never alone. Glory to God. That's a spiritual truth. How many of you know that's not a natural truth? It's a spiritual truth that God is here with me. Amen? Amen. And so then my confidence in that becomes a trust in something that is spiritual. Now, it's not something that I have. It is not. Nah, thank you, Lord. It's something I can't see. Amen? But it's not something that's not there. I don't know. So, you know, so one of the things one of the causes for the rejection of spiritual things in the church today is that there is this belief that the church wants you to believe in a God that there's no evidence for. And God never asked us to believe him without evidence. He asked us to believe him without seeing. There's plenty of proof that he's there. Amen. You see the difference? Amen. Amen. So I have to have confidence that he's there. I have to always know that he's with me. I have to thank him, because one of the things that Jesus immediately began to talk about as soon as he came and started walking in his ministry on this planet was spiritual things. Amen. Amen. So I'm going on a journey. I need to know that God is with me. Amen. Amen. And so I'm not at all ever doubting that. Now, that gives me confidence in some other things. I also am looking to him for direction. I'm looking to him for guidance. I'm looking to him for correction. I'm looking to him for protection and safety and security. I'm looking to him for peace. I'm always looking to him. I'm talking to him. I'm always responding to him. I'm always conducting myself knowing that he's there with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So when I sing, when I sing, "You've been so good, you've been so good to me," I sing that knowing that I'm singing to him. There is a reality of God that is manifest once that reality is in my heart. I don't know how else to say that. Glory to God. Lord, help me say that. Help me express that. Yeah. There is a reality of God that demands my trust. So I think for us, it's important that we don't that we don't go through the motion like there is no real God. Yeah. So if I talk to him before I get here, anytime it's time to pray, I'm excited and thrilled about that time because I believe I'm really talking to the Lord. Yeah. The other side of that is, if I don't talk to him, then I lose that reality of his presence. And you know, over time, now let me tell you this. Then when it's time to engage, you engage because your mind knows what used to be between you and him, but that connection seems to be lost. But you can get that back. That's so easy. That's so easy. That's so easy, man. Once you begin again to spend time with him regularly and allow him to ignite your heart, giving him a real place in your heart, not just doing things the things that my mind knows to do, but allowing there to be an inspiration that comes from my heart that engages with him. Because he's a spirit. That's the scripture says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. So I have to engage my spirit in order to connect with him. Amen. If the scripture said something else, or if we were talking, for example, you know, my wife has two little dogs. And they are able to, yeah, I said that right, my wife has. Okay, so anyway, they are able to engage with one another and communicate with each other because they are of the same species. And so there are things that they have a way of communicating that sometimes seems to us to not make sense. Why are y'all doing that? Why you bite them? It don't make sense to us, but that's how they communicate. And so then now we need to communicate the way that God does in order to connect with him. And so that's why there's certain things that he requires of us, so to make sure that that connection is solid and sound and there's a flow. Amen. 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 So let everybody stand up right now. There's their glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray that you help us. Our spirit man, Lord. The real us on the inside cries out for you. But sometimes, Lord, our flesh gets in the way. And we know that you are the God of all one piece. Because sometimes our flesh gets anxious and sometimes our flesh gets tired, Lord. But we pray, Lord God, that as we go on this spiritual journey, Lord God, just like Jesus told the disciples, he said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We pray, Lord God, that during this process, we learn, Lord God, to be governed and directed and moved and motivated by the willingness of our spirit. Yeah. And not by the weakness of our flesh. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, that wholeness that we learned about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We thank you, Lord God, that that's what we're moving in the direction of, Lord, so that all one piece, spirit, soul, and body, Lord God, we learn to flow with you, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for wholeness, Lord. Thank you for wholeness. Thank you for wholeness. Come on, Andehoko. God, see Ilabasta. Lord, so many things come from you. We found out in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the things of the Spirit of God are what's at stake here and what's to gain. And so, Father, our heart's desire is that we would gain from you, Lord God. That we would be able to receive the things of the Spirit of God. Your word tells us, Lord God, that you give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, Lord God. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that just the way that we put on clothes this morning, we can put praise on, Lord God. When we fellowship with you, there's praise that we can put on, Lord God, just as easily as we put on a garment, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Your word tells us you give us beauty for ashes, Lord God. And so we thank you, Lord God, that anything, Lord, that is burnt up or burnt down, Lord God, anything that's been destroyed in our lives, that we can turn it in and get something beautiful from you, Lord God. We thank you, Father, you're always looking to give us something beautiful. beautiful and precious, something valuable, Lord God, and something holy. You're always trying to give us those things and bless us with those things for the things that are destroyed and things that are a wreck and things that are no good. And so we thank you, Lord God, that this morning we make some exchanges with you, Lord, to help us on our journey with you for this year.